You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to GameSense.ab.ca. Barkov needed to be helped off the ice today at Florida Panther skate, and wasn't putting any weight on what looked to be an injured leg. We'll dig into that. David Dwork joins us, a beat reporter for the Panthers. David, welcome back to the show, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Jason. Good to be back. Good to see you.
Yeah, great to have you on. So give me your thoughts. What are you hearing? What did you see from Barkov? How bad did it look?
It didn't look good. The injury, the play itself, it looked like it was a non-contact thing. His leg was kind of at an awkward angle. It looked like all his weight kind of came down on it. But as with anything, you know that the trainer's going to tell him, don't touch it, don't put any weight on it. But it didn't look good when they took him off the ice, and he put zero weight on it when they got him, you know, onto the bench and he was walking. You could see that they were really being careful not to put anything on it, which, again, that's going to be the case no matter what until they get him in a room, until they start taking pictures of it and figuring out what's going on. They're not going to want to take any chances. But when it's his first practice of training camp, it's you never want to see that. And hopefully we get good news. But right now it's all kind of up in the air.
So he just fell on his own?
They were doing a drill where they were circling around the face-off dot cutting toward the net. And he was like, Nico Mikola was there kind of applying pressure, but he wasn't like checking him. It wasn't like putting any of his weight on Sasha. It looked like he was turning towards the net and just it kind of awkwardly came down on his knee or his leg. And it was at an awkward angle. And you could see, like, there's a video of when he came down and then he was just kind of at this weird on his knees, but leaning to the side, and he was kind of reaching out for the outside of his leg. And it was just, you almost would rather see a contact injury than a non-contact injury just because of what we know happens with non-contact. But I don't think in any situation you're going to walk away saying it looked okay, but it didn't look good.
So, because now the Panthers, they had a strategy as an organization. My understanding is all their veteran guys, like today was the first day they skated, right? Like they basically gave an extra week off.
Yeah, practice training camp opened last week, and they have 72 players on their camp roster, which is kind of ridiculous. But it was a lot of younger guys, and they gave them a run. What they've done in past years is, like, they give the NHL guys a break in terms of the preseason games, but they still have a full camp. But this year, the NHL guys were skating on their own, usually, like, in the morning, and then they'd have two afternoon practices with the prospects and the AHL guys. So this was the first formal practice with Paul Maurice and the coaching staff, with all the veteran guys, with Sergei Bobrovsky, Sam Reinhart, Brad Marchand, all those guys. And it was the first part of the first practice. Like, it was within maybe the first 20 minutes or so that this happened. They were just switching to a secondary ice surface, and they go back and forth. And as they were doing that, it was like the last part of the last drill. And all of a sudden it's like, wait, there's somebody on the ice. And just not fun.
Yeah. Well, that would be a huge loss. They're already without Matthew Tkachuk, and I'm sure that will be the storyline. You look at, I know they signed Mott as a center, but obviously he's not replacing Barkov, and they're a pretty deep team, but you lose Barkov and Tkachuk, that would be a devastating first few months.
Yeah, it'll be tough if Barkov has to miss any kind of extended period of time, just because, as you said, they're already out without Matthew Tkachuk. They're already also missing Thomas Nosek, so they're down two centers if Barkov has to miss any time. Luke Kunin's here on a PTO, and he's somebody that they're looking at as a potential fourth-line center. Particularly somebody that could step in and help bump up the center depth. Florida's fortunate, Jason, just because they've got a lot of guys on the wing that can play center, that can take faceoffs, whether it's Sam Reinhart, whether it's Evan Rodriguez. They've got guys that can step into that role. But it's going to be tough because there are, if Barkov misses any period of time, now they're down three of their main NHL regular forwards before you've even played game one of the regular season. So it's a tough situation for the defending champs.
What's the timeline? Because Marchand's the other one, right? What's his timeline?
Or no, you mean Nosek?
Nosek. Oh, yeah. Nosek's out for like 4 months minimum, right? Is that what it was?
Yeah. Nosek, it's going to be a while. He had a very serious knee injury during the offseason that he's recouping now. So they're not expecting him back until at least probably after the Olympic break. It's going to be a minute.
Now, I know it's preseason, and Carolina had a few more NHL guys in the roster last night, but the new goalie making a real positive appearance, 26 years of age. Tarasov's a guy that people have talked about for a while, kind of seeing, hey, maybe he'll get there. And it's funny because another goalie who came from Columbus has had some pretty good success in Florida. I'm not comparing the two of them, but, what do you make? He's obviously going to be the backup, it looks like. With Bobrovsky's age and everything, how many games would you expect the backup to play in Florida this year?
I'd say probably in the 30 to 35 range. That's kind of the window that they're looking for with Bob's, to keep him around 50 or so, give or take, and keep him nice and fresh for the playoffs. Bob, if it was up to him, he would play every game, as you know, but he listens to his goalie coach, Rob Tallis, who does a good job of limiting his time. But yeah, Tarasov looked great last night in Carolina. The Panthers are very high on him. Bill Zito liked him a lot from when they were together in Columbus, you know, years ago now, it seems like. But Zito was there when Tarasov first arrived. And then there's the story of how, you know, Sergei Bobrovsky idolized Tarasov's father. And now the two are together on the same team again, or on the same team for the first time. It's a very cool thing. And to see him playing well on top of it, you know, this is somebody who the Panthers could see as a long-term solution if it works out the way that they're hoping it does. As you said, Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be 37 years old, I believe, already, as the season's about to start. Still playing out of his mind, amazingly, but you have to think Father Time eventually is going to catch up. And at that time, Ford is going to have a decision to make. This is Bob's last year under his big contract. The $10 million AAV goes away after the season. And so there's a lot of options for Florida moving forward in the crease. But that being said, if they can keep Bob at a lower number, keep Tarasov and keep developing him, I think that's, at the moment, that's a good plan that they have in place.
Looking at the Bobrovsky situation, what are you hearing? What's your expectations of a potential contract extension?
I think there's a fairly decent chance that it happens. I don't know if it would happen during the season, just because Bob wouldn't want to focus. He wouldn't want to talk about that. And he might just let his agent do his thing. I'm not sure that how that relationship works, but it's something that Bob would like to do in Florida. I know he's very happy here. His wife is here. He's had two kids down here over the last few years. And he's really happy with his routine and his lifestyle. So wouldn't surprise me at all to see him want to continue that. Maybe a couple of years, you know, depending. You know, I mean, we've seen the contracts that Bill Zito hands out. Brad Marchand's under contract at least 43. So, you know, who knows what kind of thing they would want to offer Sergei Bobrovsky. But I think there is a path for him to stay here. He wants to be here. And he's a big part of the team, obviously, the team mindset of everybody that's taken less money to come here and to build a championship. So I would think Sergei Bobrovsky would fall in line. And the comments he's made prior to the season would fall in with that too.
The Panthers, just like Tampa Bay, have made it to the Stanley Cup final 3 years in a row. You got to go back to the Islanders in the 80s for a team that made it to the final 4 years in a row. It's really hard. You know, there's the wear and tear. There's obviously you need a few breaks. You got to have a really good team. The Panthers, I'm guessing by giving their extra veterans a week off, like they're more cognizant of the wear and tear, and they understand that, and they're like, we don't have to win the division. We can finish second, we can finish third, just get in the playoffs, and we're confident that we can do well. Is that kind of the feeling you get, David? And do you think that, you know, we could see guys periodically resting at times for Florida this year?
Yeah, it wouldn't be surprised. They did that a lot last year. You mentioned down the stretch how they rested guys, and, you know, Paul Maurice wasn't overly concerned with where they finished in the standings, because, yeah, as he said many times, when you make the playoffs, you're going to play a good team no matter what, and you're going to have to go through the best to get to their ultimate goal. So it's not a big concern. And last year, you saw they started every series on the road and worked out just fine for them. So for the Panthers, during the regular season, I would think that something that they'd want to continue. In terms of resting guys is one thing. My ADD gets the best of me, so I forget your question when I start rattling on, Jason. You have to forgive me.
No. I was just saying, like, you know, them load management, I like that term, but, you know, strategically resting certain guys.
Yeah, well, the recovery element is something that they've taken a lot of focus on down here over the last few years. And the players will talk about it a lot, whether it's after games or whether it's, you know, while they're injured, it's such a big part of their game now. And that's why they've changed the way that they travel. They stop traveling the night of road games, and they'll stay in the same city. They'll travel the next day just so they can go through a full recovery process. So it's something that they're very cognizant of, whether it's with healthy guys or not. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to see this season if they continue on that path and just kind of limit guys here or there. Because at the end of the day, this team has proven that they're fine with the playoffs wherever they might get in. They just want to get there, and they're happy to let the chips fall where they may.
David Dwork joins us talking Florida Panthers. Alex Barkov injured today. His first skate of the training camp and just fell awkwardly in a drill cutting to the net. Really, no dangerous play. No, just fell on his leg, and we'll get probably a report tomorrow from the Panthers. But David mentioned it did not look good, putting no weight on his leg as he left the ice with the help of the trainers. Mackie Samaskovic, the rookie, right? And it's hard to be a rookie on a championship team. And in the regular season, he played pretty well, 15 goals. We didn't see him a ton come playoff time because, hey, it's playoff time. But where do you see him fitting in? How much of a bigger role potentially could he have this regular season?
I wouldn't be surprised to see him get a top six role off the gate and see how he runs with it. That they toyed with him up there last season a little bit. He has a good understanding of what would be expected of him in that kind of a role. Just the defensive parts of the game has been what he's been focused the most on learning and excelling at since he arrived here. As a guy that came up through the college ranks, he was very highly touted, scored a lot of goals, and offense, as you know, that's kind of the way to graduate level to level. But now where he's at now, the focus has been for him on the defensive side of it, and that's going to be really what he has to do for during the season if he wants to be a part of the lineup as they go on and go into the playoffs. He said today that he's not really too focused on where he is in the lineup. He just wants to be consistent. Early in camp, both Barkov and Sam Bennett both commented on their own about how he looks faster and stronger, and he may have gotten better in the short amount of time that they were apart. And he's still just, 21, 22 years old. So they have a lot of high hopes for Maxi Semišević. They don't have many prospects of that regard coming through here. When you talk about like former first-round picks or high picks that could come through, you've got Anton Wendell, obviously Barkov and Ekblad forever ago were top picks, but not so much lately. So if Maxi can be one of those guys to come in and produce and be somebody that can do it on a cheap contract, which is kind of why you need your homegrown prospects to produce for a team like the Panthers that's trying to compete and they're playing right up to the cap every year. But I would think I'd probably be surprised, Jason, if he didn't earn himself a top six role between the injury issues and just his natural progression over the last several months.
Lastly, Dave, I got to ask you on a personal note, how has Noah Gregor looked in his PTO for the Panthers?
He looked like he was having fun last night in Raleigh. He got in a fight, scored a goal. Looked like a fun night for him and the boys, but no, he's been pretty solid. It's going to be, they're looking for veteran help on the back line, whether it's at the NHL level or whether it's at the AHL level. They're looking for guys that can play, that know how to be responsible on their own end, and that are good teammates. And he kind of checks all the boxes. He's a good dude on the ice. He's a great dude off the ice. And so far it's looked solid. So it'll be fun to see how it plays out. They're keeping a lot of these guys, I would imagine, right up until the end to see which ones stay, which ones go. But it's going to be a tight race, whether it's at forward or defense, to see who the first call-up might be, just because the Panthers are so deep at the top end. It's something that we've talked about during camp, is like, who might the first call-up be? It's a big competition between young guys at the AHL level. And it's fun to track, really, because this is the time of the year to do it. Yeah. But no, when I see that Gregor name on the ice, for sure, I'm thinking of you, buddy.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for that. And we'll be watching. Appreciate your time, Dave. Have a good one.
Take care, buddy.